So apparently God decided recently to check up on Earth and see how things were going. God summoned one of his angels and told the angel to go down and travel the Earth and just see how humanity was doing. So after a couple months, the angel returned to God, returned to meet God in the heavens and said, "I've got some bad news. 95% of humanity is not living good lives. They're not living godly lives. Only 5% are truly godly." God was a bit surprised. There were a lot more people than that in the world that said they were followers of Jesus. So he decided to send a second angel and just confirm the report. So the second angel went and traveled the earth and spent a couple of months and then came back up to heaven and came back to God and said, "I'm afraid the first angel was right. 95% of humanity is really not good. Only 5% are really living godly lives." God was saddened by this report and decided he needs to do something. So he thought, "Well, I'll start by speaking to the 5%. And so God drafted an email. And he sent the email to the email boxes of the 5%, those who were godly in their lives. And do you know what God said? "Me neither. I didn't get the email either." Goodness. That is our virtue of the fruit of the Spirit for today. So how are you doing on memorizing the fruits of the Spirit? Tori said that she was going to pass on the pop quiz, but I'm not afraid. Let's do a pop quiz. Let's say the fruit of the Spirit with me. I'll go slow so we can all do this together. Are you ready? Say it out loud. If you're at home, you can say it out loud. See how well you've learned the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit. Are you ready? Here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, that was okay. Let's see if we can do them fast. Ready? We're going to do them fast. Here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right. Still some work to do, but here's the thing. These are the virtues that God wants us to experience in our lives. Right? These are the what comes from the fruit of a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this is what God wants for you. God wants you to have more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in your life. And so we're memorizing this list or singing this song to try and learn these virtues of the fruit, not because it's just fun to sing the song, although it's kind of fun to sing the song. But because the next time you are feeling unloved or unwanted, or the next time you're worried or anxious in your life, or the next time you're angry and you're starting to lose self-control, we can just repeat this list and go, "This is what God wants for my life. And I know that these virtues come from a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit." Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's explore a question. What does it mean biblically to live a good life? As we're thinking about goodness today, what does it look like to have the virtue of goodness in our lives? Now, to start, if we're going to understand what Paul means when he talks about goodness in this list of the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, we have to overcome a major roadblock. And that major roadblock is actually the English language. Think about this. Think about how the ways that we use the term good today. For instance, how are you? Right? Our perfunctory response is good. But what do we mean when we say good? Right? Not great, because if it was great when somebody asked that question, then we just gush all the wonderful things that are happening in our lives. So in this case, good doesn't mean really above average or doesn't tell about great things or good things happening. Right? It also doesn't mean bad. I mean, if I say, how are you, and you say good, it means you're good. If I say, how are you, and you pause dramatically and then say good, it means you're not very good. So what does good even mean when we use it in that context? Right? Really, it's just a cultural answer to the question. Or what about this? When Cheryl and I leave the house, some of you maybe have had this experience as parents, some of you have had it as kids. When Cheryl and I leave the house, now that the kids are old enough to stay home alone, well, when we leave, we'll often say, okay, be good while we're gone. Now, it's interesting, right? Because what we really mean is don't be bad while we're gone. We don't mean, hey, go around to the neighbors and do random acts of goodness while we're gone, right? And we don't mean, you know, why don't you be angry while we're gone? We don't mean show special care for each other while we're gone. What we really mean is, you know, don't set the house on fire and don't kill each other while we're gone. It's a pretty low bar for good, right? Or maybe we can think about it this way. Culture, I think, has a lot more to say about being bad for some reason than it does about being good. In fact, I sometimes wonder if being bad isn't, like, more cool or more celebrated in our culture than being good is. I tried this experiment with staff this week. I asked a group of them. I said, name some songs about being bad. And they rattled off a pretty impressive list, really. Bad, I'm Bad to the Bone, George Thorogood. How many of you know that song, I'm Bad to the Bone? Bad by Michael Jackson. How many know that song, right? Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. You Give Love a Bad Name. Bad Case of Loving You. Bad, Bad, Leroy Brown. Bad Guy by Billie Eilish. Just rattled those off. And then I said, how about songs that are about being good? Crickets. And then somebody said, Good, Good Father, which is a good one, although that's really about God. It's not about us. And then really the only song that we could come up with was Only the Good Die Young. Isn't that encouraging? So I want you to know I'm working, in fact, maybe a girl named Tom can help me with this. I'm working on a song about being good to try and balance the equation in culture. So far I've got I'm good, you know it, I'm good. Can we work with that? Top 40 in the future somewhere? All kidding aside, though, goodness is more than not being bad. Right? Let's think about that for a moment. Goodness is more than not being bad. The Holy Spirit, it dwells within you, and it's inviting you to claim goodness in your life. And that goodness you're invited to claim, it's to live in a way that is so much richer, so much deeper than just going through life and trying not to be bad. So what is goodness? And that's kind of what we're exploring, right? So we know what goodness is not. We know that our English definition is a little anemic. So what is goodness? Let's look at 2 Peter for a moment. Specifically 2 Peter 1, this letter to followers of Jesus, we're going to start in verse 3. And it says this, God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Right, so It's not easy to write a song about not being bad, if that's our definition of good. But 2 Peter starts with a definition of goodness in a very different way. 2 Peter says that we know what goodness looks like. Goodness looks like the life of Jesus. Right? 2 Peter says, you've seen goodness. You know what goodness, what godly looks like because you've experienced it. You know it in the life of Jesus. Turning away from temptation to follow God's call and purpose. Giving everything he had to care for the outsider and the outcast and the poor and the vulnerable and the sick and the needy. Speaking truth, even when those who claimed to know the truth would get angry and didn't want to hear what he had to say. Giving his life for what he believed in. Giving his life even for those who would deny him and wouldn't stand up for him. Being willing on the cross, even in the pain of the cross, to say, I forgive them, to those who had wronged him. This is goodness. Right? This is the noble and glorious picture of what a good life looks like. This is a goodness worth writing songs about, singing about. And note, 2 Peter then says something else. It says, you are invited to participate in the divine nature, in the goodness of Jesus. You are invited to participate in this. Not just learn about it, but to be part of the goodness of Jesus. And this I think, is where our kind of anemic definition of good meets our faith. Right? If we're honest, if I'm honest, those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, don't we really just want to go through life and not be bad? Like, if we're honest, isn't it easier just to go through life and not be bad? I mean, to be good like Jesus good, I mean, that requires reordering priorities and real change in our lives. It sure is easier to say we're a Jesus follower and then just get to know a little bit more about Jesus every now and then. Right? It sure is easier to say I'll learn a little bit more about Jesus later. Or it's easier just to say I'll do my best to control myself and put Jesus first, but only most of the time. It sure is easier just to say, you know what, I'll worship. I'll put myself into God's presence when I have time. Sure is easier to say, well, I'll love when love is easy. But the invitation to participate in the goodness of God, in the goodness of Jesus, it calls for something else. Yeah, it's putting aside corruption and evil desires, but also living the goodness of Jesus is living in total devotion as Jesus did to God. It's giving our whole lives to God. Note what 2 Peter says next. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Do you notice what's first in this list? First in this list of how to live out our faith is goodness. Right? Why? Well, I think in this list of ways that we grow in faith, there are lots of important things. But take knowing Jesus, for instance. We could learn more about Jesus without really changing how we live. Right? We could know Jesus, but not live what he taught or what he showed us. I think of it this way. Have you ever known somebody who was book smart, but when it came to sort of the practicality of doing things, they just couldn't take the from the books and put it into real practice? Or another way to think about this, how would you like it if you were headed in for surgery, right? And you went to meet with the doctor, and the doctor said, I've read everything there is to know about surgery. And when you ask him, yeah, but how many surgeries have you performed? He's like, well, I haven't done one. Right? We can know a lot without actually letting it change our lives or mean anything. Goodness is about more than knowledge of right and wrong. More than just knowing Jesus. And another item in that list, we think about like self-control. We could exhibit more self-control. We could work to not be bad. We could improve our habits without really committing our lives to following Jesus. And think of it like a diet. You know, often we go on diets without really committing ourselves to long-term health. Right, and so for 4 weeks we eat right, we do the right things, we maybe even exercise. But what happens when we go off the diet and we go back to our old eating habits? If we haven't really committed to a life of health, right? The weight just comes right back on. The bad habits come right back on. And what happens if we haven't committed ourselves to that life of health? What happens when temptation comes and that bowl of ice cream with chocolate sauce all over it? Hang on, I'm just dreaming about that for a moment. What happens when that temptation comes to us, right? If we haven't committed ourselves to the bigger picture, it's so easy to give in to that temptation. Because goodness, it's about more than just following the rules. It's about more than self-help. So what is goodness? Goodness is living a life like Jesus. Goodness is living a life like Jesus. And the letter says goodness comes first. Because if we seek to live a life like Jesus, then we grow into that life as we commit and as we persevere, as we learn self-control, as we love. The Greek word translated as goodness, when Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, when he gets to goodness, the Greek word that he uses is agathos. The root is agathos. It's where Agatha, the name Agatha, comes from. Agatha in Greek literally means good. But it's interesting, this word, it's translated in the list as goodness, but there's another really rich translation of it in other places in the Bible, which is generous. Right? And I think the two fit together. Living a life like Jesus is living a generous life, right? Jesus gave it all for God, and Jesus gave it all for us. If we're going to live like Jesus, we live a generous life. Living like Jesus is offering ourselves, and not just money, although that's part of it too, but our effort, our resources, giving all that we are to spread the love of God. John Wesley founded the Methodist movement that became the church that we're part of today. And somebody later wrote a summary of his teachings, and they wrote these words. Essentially, the end of the Christian life is to do all the good you can, by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, and all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Let me ask a favor. Let me invite you to say those words with me. Would you read these words on the screen here, or for those of you online, you can read them on the screen online. Let's say these words together. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. A life of generosity, a life like Jesus. This is goodness. So one last question that we should ask, or maybe you've been asking, how do we do this? How do we How do we live with such goodness? Paul writes in another place, Paul writes, I try to be good, but the bad, it continues to have a hold on me. How do we live a life of goodness? And the answer is this. We deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit living inside of each one of us. You see, and for those who've been with us through this series, the fruit, the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, right? They're actually not all separate. It's almost like think of a prism. Fruit is a prism, and if you turn it, you see all of these different ways that the fruit manifests itself in our lives. They're all connected. There isn't goodness without kindness. There isn't kindness without patience. There isn't patience without self-control. They're all part of the fruit of the Spirit, and the key to all of them for us to experiencing more of that goodness in our lives is a deeper and more holy relationship with the Holy Spirit. What Jesus promised to be with us. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're all available to us. They're what God wants for us, and they come from a deeper relationship with Jesus. They come when we commit to studying the Bible regularly and together and learning more about who Jesus was and what he taught. They come when we pray, not just perfunctory mealtime prayers, although those are important too, but the kind of prayer where we regularly sit down with God and we have a conversation, we talk to God, and we listen to what God has to say from us. They come, these virtues of the fruit, they come when we worship. And not just when it's convenient to our schedules, but with the kind of commitment that keeps Jesus first in our lives. The kind of commitment that says, this is a priority for me and for my family. These virtues, they come to us when we love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength, and when we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. When I was in college, I went to Neosho, Missouri, to do research for a paper that I was writing for an art history class. And I was writing the paper on Thomas Hart Benton, and his hometown was Neosho, Missouri, near Joplin in the southwest corner of Missouri. My art history professor had an acquaintance there, and so he introduced me to Kay Hively, and I went and I met Kay Hively, and she was a writer at the local paper. And when I arrived in Neosho, not knowing where I was, not knowing anybody, Kay showed me around the community and told me everything that she knew as a writer about Thomas Hart Benton and some of the places where they think that Thomas Hart Benton drew inspiration. And I traveled around, and Kay took me in. She fed me. She knew I was a college kid on a tight budget, so she put me up for the night. I remember when I walked into her house, there was just this feeling of warmth. Have you ever walked into somebody's home and you just feel goodness? You just feel welcomed? There were religious symbols. I can't even tell you exactly what was there. I just remember feeling this warmth, and Kay just took me in, a stranger. When I got back to school, I called my mom and dad, and they, of course, asked how your weekend was. And I remember saying this. I remember saying, Kay was just so good to me. My art professor would ask that week how my trip was, and I said, Kay is amazing. She was so good to me. Good. She was generous. She gave of herself. She gave of her time, her resources. She just gave, not because she knew me, just because that's who she was. Goodness. Think for a moment, who has just been good to you? And then multiply that by infinity and realize that that is how Jesus has been to us. He gave it all for us. And he invites us to live in that generosity, in that goodness. So you see, to be good is to participate in the divine nature and the love and the giving of oneself. And we begin that walk. We begin to grow the fruit of the Spirit in us as we deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the one who gave it all for us. Amen.